Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours with my lady, my love, my partner, my best friend, everything, my gift from the universe, Robin. Hi, Don.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Great. Just listening to, you know, listening to your voice. It's all good. So how are you tonight?
Okay. You know, lots of stuff to do. Turned the child on to the Back to the Future movies. We watched the first one, finished that tonight. Started watching it yesterday, finished it tonight, and then we started the Back to the Future 2 movie tonight. And she's liking them very much. So.
She's hooked, huh?
Yep, she'd never seen it before. So, and then she keeps asking me questions. Does he get back to the future? What happens? So it's very cute. Of course, I won't tell her.
No, you can't. You know,
no
spoilers.
You can't ruin a surprise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, I'm all excited about the interview coming up on Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
and you know, talking to the Gramassis. I'm pretty excited about that, and
yeah.
then this Saturday. We're going to be at the South Jersey Pagan Pride, and we'll talk
yep.
more at the end of the show. And you're going to give everybody a location and all that stuff. But,
right.
you know, pretty excited about that, you know. Do what?
Mm-hmm. I said I am?
Yes, you are.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to find that, I guess, then, because I don't have that at my fingertips, but I will look for it.
Well, that. Well, see, now you've got some warning, so I'm not going to spring it on you without you having
mm-hmm.
a chance.
Yeah, where's Nib when
cool
I need
her? Yeah, I have no idea. I don't see her tonight. So, anyway. You know, maybe somebody in the chat room will feed us the information of the location of the South Jersey Pagan Pride coming up. I mean, you know how to drive to it, right? You know, so...
No.
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know. Okay, well, this is going to be a fun trip on Saturday. But anyway, once we find the place, we will be inviting people to come out and see us. As we're going to be doing a presentation and setting aside some time to talk with people and, you know, do a one-on-one session. So, you know, come out and see us in South Jersey. We'll get you a location before the end of the show. So, gosh, there's so much cool stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, we are wrapping up the Fool's Journey. 3 weeks ago, I guess it was. Gosh, it seems so long. It doesn't seem that long. But we talked about the World card and the fool, the completion of the Fool's Journey and the time to begin the cycle again. And so tonight we're just going to go through the journey again, go through the cards, go through, you know, go through the, you know, the whole journey, the development, and how, remind everyone of how we can use this for self-development and use the major arcana and the Fool's Journey to help us to grow and improve ourselves and our lives. So what do you want to jump in there with?
Oh, I was just waiting for you to finish.
I finished.
Yeah, I see that. You know, the other thing about, you know, reading the tarot and bringing it into your life is you can use the deck to bring energy into your life when you need it. So let's say you've been, you know, a little down or depressed. I mean, you can seek out a card like the Sun, or you can seek out, you know, some of the minor arcana cards and use those cards as touchstones. So put them around the house, meditate on them, help them to channel the energy you need to get you out of whatever funk you're in, whatever situation you're in. The cards are a very powerful tool, not only for divination, but also, as you said, for self-improvement and self-healing.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, there's so much, you know, energy. The cards themselves don't have the energy, but they help us to focus on the energies that we want to bring in. And, you know, I always think, you know, people always, you know, there's all this kind of, I'm a superstitious thinking about the cards themselves are the power. And the truth is the cards reflect the energies that are in play. So if you're doing a reading for someone, the card isn't the energy, it's simply reflecting that energy in that person or in that situation. And, you know, that's why, you know, some of the superstitious thinking about reading with the cards and other people touching your cards, and, well, I just don't like people handling my stuff generally, because, you know, I mean, you know, somebody get, you know, ding a card or do something, but I, you know, I don't think that there's any kind of, you know, oh my, you know, I'll never be able to read those cards. I just don't buy into that. You know, I think that the connection that we have with the divine is the real issue at play, is the real magic at play. It's our conversation with the divine, our guidance, the energy that flows through us, through that connection to the divine. And it's reflected in the cards, but it is not the cards themselves, but the cards become the language that we use to commune, to speak with, and to give messages from deity. And, you know, that's, I think, the real magic in any form of divination is in our connection to the divine. The form we use to divine is merely the language we've agreed upon that we will use to speak with and get messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Although you did say something there that I'm not sure I agree with entirely. You said that the cards don't have energy in them. See, I believe that when you've worked with a deck, the deck does gather energy to itself, and the cards do store energy. And they do have a vibe, if you will, in each card, given each reading in each situation. But that's a matter for debate, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that objects do collect the energies around them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not convinced that each card has its own separate energy. I think that each card is, at its very core, a piece of cardboard with images on it, and that is a tool we use to commune with the divine.
You don't believe that the cards retain any kind of energy from being handled or anything like that?
No, I said that the objects do collect the energy from those around them from being handled, mm-hmm. yes. But does each card hold its own separate energy of the Fool card or the energy of the Empress card? I don't go there. I really don't. I think that it represents that energy. It reflects that energy flowing through the situation. And it is the answer to the questions that are being asked. But does the Empress card itself hold the Empress energy? No, I don't think so. Not to me. Not in my understanding. No more than the hammer builds the house. It is but a tool. Now, in the hands of a master carpenter, it can appear magic. But that is the skill of the individual being reflected in the use of the hammer. The same way that I believe that the cards are a tool by which we communicate with the divine, and a skilled reader can make them appear magical. But they are, at their core, a tool that a reader uses. The reader's connection to the divine is the real magic that's taking place in any divination, in my humble opinion. Or not so humble opinion, depending on who you ask.
Okay, well, you're entitled to your not so humble or humble opinion, depending on who we ask. But I happen to think and feel that every time I pick up my cards, there's energy, and there's an energy shift. I mean, when I do a reading, I give the cards to the person I'm reading for to shuffle. And part of that, for me, is for them to mingle their energy with the cards and put their energy into each card. And I really kind of feel that has an effect on how the cards come out and what I feel from them when I throw them. How the cards are ordered in the deck is a sort of a subconscious magical thing that happens as the person is doing it, because they know subconsciously what they have come to ask about. And so it orders the cards for them in the proper, to the proper timeline to be thrown. But, that's just me. That's how I look at it, but not everybody does.
No, but I mean, with you doing an intuitive reading and the cards that you use having, ink spots on them, you are doing as much object medium work as a tarot reading, and you're throwing those cards. And I'm wondering if the effect would be equally powerful for you, the type of readings you do and the way you feel the energy from the person and do the reading, if a contact medium of any object would be sufficient for you and your connection to the divine. If that person handled a handful of, Yahtzee dice, would you get as much of a feeling from those dice that they have handled as you do from the cards?
That's a good question, because there are people who do readings where, give me your car keys or give me something you handle every day. And I understand that is the same sort of thing we're talking about. But when you're using the cards, there's also the added energy of the cards and the signpost.
Right. So they have symbols on them. I get that. And again, but what you described to me, I'm just playing with what we're, you know, with what we're saying here and going with what you said, the person's energies intermingling. Now, I think the person shuffling the divine through that person orders the cards. That the person's energy, while intermingling, yes, is not what I'm reading. I'm reading the message given to me by the divine through the symbols on the cards. Sometimes I don't even see the symbol that's the main symbol. Sometimes my eye will be pulled to a certain something on the card that takes me away from the, you know, quote, book meaning of the card. And I tend to run with that. I've learned through time that sometimes the divine will send me the message of look at that acorn and, you know, or look at the dog on the moon card and see that rather than the book meaning or the traditional understanding of the moon card, that something about that dog fits with the story that I'm being given to tell.
Right.
So I've learned over time to run with that because that's, you know, that's the message that I'm being given to present to this person. But again, my understanding is I'm reading the message from the cards. Your cards themselves, the ones that you like to play with and read with, they're beautiful cards, but you yourself have said there's they're just symbols. I mean, I made a joke earlier, but I was being a little flippant, and I apologize for that. But they're just, I'm not even quite sure how to describe them. I mean, the ink blots, you know, ink spots was kind of a joke, but they are very abstract. Would you describe the cards so that I can quit stumbling through this, if you would please, out loud.
Well, you know, the deck, you mean my cards? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the spirit cards that you love to read with, not the, I mean, we've been talking about the rider, yeah, the soul cards, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about the rider weight for all this time, but you mentioned these cards. So.
Right, yeah, the soul cards are simply, each card is a painting, originally painted by a woman who was going to Cooper Union Art School in New York City in the Village, and she realized that she had these very powerful works of art and decided to create a deck with them. There are no meanings for her cards. There's no book that you can buy that will give you the meanings to her cards. She has now produced, I believe, two or three different decks based on the same concept of these different paintings. And, you know, they're meant to evoke emotion in you, just like when you go into an art gallery and look at a painting. It's meant to evoke emotion in you. And so when you use these cards to throw and use them like tarot cards, they do evoke emotions and they have a feeling. There is a significant feeling, a significant emotion to pretty much to each one of these paintings, these little mini paintings on these cards. And they do truly, for me, evoke emotions out of the people and that I'm doing the readings for, and they give me a vibe, and it's very readable for me. That doesn't work for everyone.
Well, exactly, and that's, you know, that we should always find the cards that work best for us. But again, your cards take me more to an idea that you're doing a medium kind of work. I was not being critical when I said that. I'm actually in awe of people that can do that kind of contact medium and object medium kind of work. That's not one of my gifts. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like I said, I'm sometimes in awe of people that can touch an object and tell someone its whole story.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do that. You can, at least in my opinion and what my understanding is, you can do that to a degree, and that's what you're demonstrating in your readings. And it's very, very cool.
It's part of the reason I love antiques, because I sense them. I know, you know, where they've
been. I feel their energy, but I don't always get the story. Yeah, and that teapot that I grabbed, you felt almost nothing from it, but I picked it up, and the hair on both my arms stood up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that teapot came home with us, because I see the little old lady pouring tea with that, you know, from that pot.
Yep.
I don't do that with everything. I don't do that like the same way, you know, the same way that other people. You know, some people can do that with everything. You know, I get it in fits and starts, probably because that object itself was calling to me. And that, you know, energy within the object. So, wow, we've kind of taken a diversion far afield, and this is kind of cool.
The one other thing I will say about this is, for me, you know, reading tarot cards and using the Rider-Waite deck always felt as if I was hemmed in by the deck. I was hemmed in by the deck having such well-spelled-out meanings, and this card means that, and that card means this, and the whole, you know, Celtic cross, the spread thing, just always felt like it all, for me, got in the way. It's all stuff I don't need to use. It just made me worry. It's like reading something when you're doing ritual. It's all like what I call forebrain stuff. You're not using your intuition when you're doing it, because you're following a pattern. You've got a logical thought pattern that's been overlaid over your intuition. And for me, that stuff all just gets in the way. And I do much better, more accurate, more free-flowing readings when I just relax and let it flow. And don't worry about where I'm putting the cards or how many cards I'm throwing. I just do it for that person based on what I feel. Some people get 50 cards out of my deck. Some people get 15. It depends on how much they need, how much there is to talk about, and how much time we have, basically. And so I know that for some people that's not the way they read. You know, it's very structured. It's, you know, this card goes over this one, and if this one's inverted, it means this other thing. And I don't get all that hung up about it.
Well, see, but on the flip side is I do enjoy the structure. I don't feel limited by the structure, and I certainly don't limit myself to the traditional understanding of each, of, you know, strictly interpreting each card. You know, like I said, if I turn over the moon card and my eye is drawn hard to a particular symbol on it, I go with that, not the traditional meaning. You know, we've had this discussion, probably one of the earliest discussions we had. But I do like the structure in the storytelling. For me, that works. I don't find it limiting. I find it to be yet another tool in my way of interpreting and understanding the messages that I am receiving, that I have to give the story to the querent. And so for me, it's part of the storytelling. Because let's face it, any of these readings are, to a large degree, storytelling. We're giving this message in the form of a story and what we're getting from it. And it becomes, to me, kind of mantric, because you call it forebrain, but for me it becomes kind of an underpinning that holds the whole thing up. Not something that holds it down, but rather something that gives it a foundation. And that's, you know, that's my way. Your way is different. And, you know, we both get good results. And that's the cool part. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they were asking me about answers. And, you know, we've said this on the air a number of times. I don't have answers. I have my answers, but I don't have anyone else's answers. I've got my answers. I've got a ton of opinions. And I've got a ton of things that work for me or don't work for me. But those are not answers. My answers are, you know, what works for me and my understanding and my connection to the divine and to spirit in all of its forms. That's my answer. Each person's job is to go find their own answers. Your answer is the way you read is the way you read, and that's your understanding, your connection. And mine is my way, and we both get great results. Other people are going to say, well, you know, while I read an inverted card as the energy is present but blocked, other people have, you know, their inverted card means the opposite. And, you know, all these kind of different interpretations, ebbs and flows, and the dance we dance with spirit when we do a reading, that's the answer. Not in a book, not in my words, not in your words, but in each person's understanding of their connection to spirit and the messages they receive and the language that they use. Would you agree with what I just said?
Yeah, for the most part.
Go ahead, ma'am. I'm very sorry. I'm in a playful mood tonight, and I apologize.
You don't have to apologize. It's fine. So I have this thing, you know, often when I read that I hear a little voice that just talks to me in my ear. Some people would call that spirit or guardian angel or whatever you want to call it. That's how it comes to me. It's always my right ear. I don't know why people say, oh, it shouldn't be your right ear, it should be your left ear. But I'm telling you, it's my right ear. And it's just like somebody talking in my ear, like whispering in my ear. And it's just as clear as a bell. Sometimes I don't get that, and I just get like intuitive feelings or flashes of pictures. Sometimes things just come out of my mouth that I have absolutely no forethought about. It just pops out. And so I honestly feel like that's just sort of, you know, the divine put that there. Here, say this, you know. So there are lots of different types of ways that information comes to us when we're doing readings. And these are things that you've got to be able to discern for yourself. Is there a physical sensation that comes with a certain type of intuition? You know, oftentimes when I feel that I get kind of like a warm rush, a warm feeling in my neck, and that's when I'll hear the voice talking in my ear. Sometimes if I'm getting a heavy intuitive impression, I can feel my stomach can feel a little queasy. So all these things are related to your physicality of your body, and you just have to be able to identify, when I have this happen to me, this is going to happen, and this is how these things correlate. So, for example, people will often be like, oh, I'm sneezing. I hope I'm not getting sick. It's the same thing. You know, I'm having this warm feeling. Geez, I'm going to have this, you know, this impression of something. And these are things to keep, and these are things I tell people they should keep a log about to help them. As a matter of fact, when you start doing readings and you're at the point where you're doing it for free for friends and family and like that, you should write down a little bit about each reading or have the person, the client, write it down and keep it so that you can have a little information about. And it doesn't have to be great detail, you know, maybe like three or four things that you said in the reading for that person and the date that you did the reading. And then go back and look in this book, this log, that and you can see, oh, yeah, you know, that person did have this happen to them, or, oh, you know, I told her this. Boy, that was good because, look, she avoided this other thing. Whatever it is, and you'll see, and this is how we validate for ourselves that what we're doing is not just guessery, not just, you know, telling people what they want to hear, not just charlatry. It's real.
Now, and also put into this any physical sensations you had when you were doing that reading.
Yes.
You know, I did this reading, and this is the reading. These are the cards. This is what I told the person. This is what I felt. Because I get, and you've seen it physically manifest on my person when I get that feeling up my spine. And my shoulders come back, and there's a change in my posture. And that's when I feel that connection. And I have learned to understand that that is, you know, that is the feeling I get when I connect. And, you know, so everybody, you know, in the chat room, comment here, triggers come into the reading on various levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from PA Night Owl. So, yes, she is listening tonight and hanging out with
her. Hi, Jackie.
these are clues, and if you write down these sensations, and then you have this sensation, and that reading was even particularly powerful and particularly accurate. Look for that sensation. Recognize that sensation the next time it comes. This is a big one.
Yeah.
And when you begin, I mean, all witches, we're supposed to be observers of nature, not just of nature, but also of ourselves. Jackie also says sometimes, not often, your experience tells you to back away quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, trust those feelings as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I were talking on the phone earlier about trusting our feelings, trusting our gut, because it's not paranoia. Our body is in tune to stuff that we don't necessarily consciously notice.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get that feeling of, no, run back, you know, get away, trust that there's a reason. There's something that we're picking up. It's not paranoia. We're picking up stuff all the time that our brain doesn't consciously register. So trust that. Trust yourself. But observe, you know, when you get a certain sensation and then this happens and then you get that sensation again and that same thing happens, you know, that's a clue. But if we're not paying attention, then we will miss this until it's, you know, the clue by four.
Right.
And then that experience is usually painful. The more we trust those feelings, the more we observe our feelings and our sense and sensation, like I said, that thing up my spine. You know, I have learned what that means, and I trust it. So, you know, we all should be doing this. And we are way past the bottom of the hour. So let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
We normally play a song from the artist that's going to be with us on Thursday, but since we have no artist on Thursday, I'm going to indulge my favorite song, or one of my favorite songs. And since I've got the buttons in front of me, I'm going to play what I want tonight, and it's going to be Dave the Bard, Antlered Crown, and Standing Stone. And we will be back in just a few minutes. Everybody stick around.
I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of a changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand. And everywhere that I have been, my passing turns the gray to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken, and all my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal thread unbroken. I am lover, I am father, I am hornet, god and king. I'm the life in all
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more. All available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio. So go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours with Terry and Robin. My love,
yay,
my lady, my partner, my bestest friend, and all that fun stuff. Hey, darling.
Hi, honey.
Hey. All right, so during the break, I was having a wonderful conversation in the chat room with P.A. Night Owl, and, you know, this is, we do advertise this as a call-in show tonight, and Jackie has asked to, if I wanted
sure
to bring her on, so let's make sure. Jackie, are you there?
I think I'm here.
Okay, well,
hey,
I can
you
hear
me?
You, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay.
How are you doing tonight, darling?
I'm doing just fine.
So
I'm awake.
Well, that's a damn good start. That big cup
yes
of coffee.
That's right.
So
that's right.
In the chat room, we were, you were expressing a way that you use the cards as a tool,
right,
to open your receptivity. And you know, when we were talking about the cards acting kind of like a channel, focusing,
yes,
could you, tell the listeners what about that conversation, please?
Okay. There are people who are, they will do things and they will say things and they will call it woman's intuition or somebody's intuition. And a lot of that is because people are very observant. I think we've lost, over the millennium, we've lost the ability to be as observant as we maybe should be, because we don't have to use it all the time. And a lot of it has to do with privacy. I don't want to know everybody's secrets. I don't want to know how they're feeling. Because part of that is, if you know how they're feeling, then you feel you have to do something about it.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to. I don't want to adopt the whole world. But with friends and acquaintances and loved ones, there's a tendency to reach out and manipulate because we can.
Uh-huh.
And that's not a really good thing to do. It's one of the things that you have to back off as your children grow and not be the one that's telling them how to breathe, what they do every day. So you have to allow people to have their privacy, to have their own quirks, their own things that they don't want other people to know. When you're in a crowd at the mall at holiday time, and you walk in there and you have a few things and you're trying to get things done, and all of a sudden you feel like, I'm going to shoot people. I'm going to kill them now.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving me crazy. And what I used to do is I would find a store that had candles. And I would go in, and I would do about 10 minutes of aromatherapy just to get my head cleared. It was the only thing I could do. You know, when you are an empath and you do have those sometimes gifts, sometimes curses. I don't know what to call it sometimes. But
it depends on the moment.
Using cards or runes or stones, you name it. There are all kinds of things that we can use as our tools to handle who we are as people who work the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of our craft is to open ourselves up to understanding, to know more, to reach out. And sometimes we just get ourselves so open and so trying to be helpful that we get run over. So part of the function of my tarot cards is when I put them away, I shut down that. I shut down that part of me that's listening to everything, being
mm-hmm.
aware of everything. You know, I remember doing a reading for someone. Actually, I was teaching a class, and I had everybody doing a reading. And I walked over to this one woman, and I'm talking to her about her reading and the cards. And I said, and your husband's looking at insurance. And I went on to tell her the story about why he's thinking this way and da-da-da-da. And she looked at me, and she says, what card means insurance? There's no card in the deck that says insurance. But, you know, the cards will tell you the story. And you've been to readers and you've had them at these the psychic fairs where you will sit down and they will bring up names of people you know who they're talking about, and they will actually get the name. And there's no way that they know that name. There is no background that they could pull that from.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they're using their skills, and they're doing a reading, and they're getting a story. Sometimes it comes with names. Sometimes it comes with descriptions. Sometimes it comes with, contracts. All kinds of things can pop up there that's not written on any individual card in any deck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that's
the reader. The reader opens the connection. And yes, like Robin says, I ask my clearance to first shuffle the cards, pick out the card that they want as their significator, and then they basically do all the shuffling, and then all I do is tell them when they cut the cards in three piles, give me one of the piles, and then I will start turning over cards from that pile. I will not touch them at all. All I'm doing is opening up and letting the cards be my tool
mm-hmm.
for the clearance. The other thing is, once I'm finished with it, there are, over the years, there have been a few that have stood out just because they were really out there a little bit. But for the most part, I don't remember the readings because it's not my reading. It's not, I don't have to do anything about it. I just have to talk to you about it. And at that point, it's not my job to do anything else but let you talk it out and let you understand what the cards are saying. Now, there's a couple of times that I had been doing readings for, there's only two people really in my whole life, and I've been doing this since the late 60s. One was a person that had actually scared me. I had to get up and leave the room. I would not stay anywhere near that. Mm-hmm. And the other one was someone who really did not need a reading. This person really needed some psychiatric help. Those two scared me because those people had no filters on what they were capable of doing, and they had no compunction in doing whatever they felt like doing. To me, they were rabid in their thinking. Yes. And, you know, I had one that I had read for this woman over a number of years, and I used to put her off. I wouldn't read for her often, 6 months at least, because she really wanted me to help control her life. And the night she called me and told me she was going to kill somebody and then kill herself, and I got on my other phone and called the helpline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew she needed help. It was totally beyond what I could do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sometimes we, as readers, have to recognize that for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, some people will fool you. And I didn't think it was to that extent, but I hadn't heard from her in months and months and months. And all of a sudden she called her one night, and she's ranting and raving, and I did not know if she was on drugs or alcohol or whatever, but whatever society's filters for her were down.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going off the deep end. And at that point, man, my job is to pick up the phone and call like I would do for anybody calling a hotline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, refer.
Yeah, because there's sometimes you just don't want to know.
Yeah.
But,
darling, thank you for calling in.
Well, I'm a reader from a way back. And I couldn't shut up.
Sorry,
no,
Ken.
And I value your input. I don't always agree with it, but I value your input.
I know.
And,
well, same with us, you know, but we're friends, so we tolerate.
Hell, we don't even agree every time.
Okay, guys, have a good show.
The cool part is that we all have our way. So.
That's right. There's many paths.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. No one has answers except the person that's seeking the answers.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, Jackie has dropped out on us. So, let's see. We did start this with the idea that we were going to go through the Fool's Journey and wrap
mm-hmm.
up. So, we're hurtling toward the top of the hour, and we're actually going to end up running a little late tonight. But let's go ahead and hit the cards real quick and go through the journey, because this is, you know, something that, you know, people can use to, you know, for self-development, for, you know, meditating on a card a week or a card, you know, for a certain period of time. Take this journey. The Fool starts off innocent. Open, fresh, newborn, essentially. This is the beginning. Spontaneous. Through the Fool's journey, the Fool encounters the Magician and learns about the active, creative power, conscious awareness, and then meets the High Priestess and learns the mystery and the unconscious. the polarity between the masculine and the feminine, the active and the inner, expressive or you know, or looking inward. That duality is introduced to the fool, who then meets the empress, and in that moment meets the mother. Everything that is warm, loving, nourishing, caring, the very sense of being cared for, the abundance of the mother is all expressed in this card and in this encounter. The fool then moves on and meets the emperor, and the emperor teaches structure, authority, rules, behaviors, learning to work within society, to be a member of the group. Then goes on to meet the Hierophant, where education, belief structures begin to grow within the fool. And then the peer pressure, the group identity, the need or the feeling wanting to conform to the group is also expressed in the Hierophant. And then by this time, the fool has moved on to I guess early adulthood, late adolescence, or in that period where they're beginning to feel sexual, seeking that union relationship, figuring out values in this and deciding on their own beliefs, not just what's being imposed from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then by this time, the fool has become an adult and has a self-identity. And with the chariot and the charioteer, we have this expression of discipline and willpower and the ability to take action and be assertive and to control visible control of oneself and his or her surroundings. After that lesson comes the strength card, where the assertiveness is now softened, where the challenges of I want, I take gets, causes a little bit of suffering, maybe. And we learn that strength can be expressed with patience and tolerance and a softer approach. At this point, the fool tends to wander off into solitude, seeking to understand all of this. And the hermit energy enters into the picture. And that search within, that looking for answers, the hermit is not just sitting around, just sitting there. The hermit is seeking answers, the why. Why am I here? Why does this happen? Why? And that look within, and that removal from the frantic activity of society and everything going on, the hermit, the fool, through the hermit, seeks a teacher or a guide and looks within. Coming out of that, the fool has this vision, the Wheel of Fortune, and begins to understand the patterns, the cycles, the interconnectedness of it all. It is destiny. It is movement. It's action. It's everything encapsulated into this vision of the wheel and the understanding of the harmony and interconnectedness of the universe. From there, the Fool moves on to experience the Justice card and the realization of cause and effect, taking responsibility, making amends for past actions. The Justice card is about about responsibility, about making choices and, are these choices, am I going to turn around and go back, or am I going to stick to my guns and what I've learned and move forward? Sometimes the moving forward is not as easy as I don't want this anymore, and sliding back into, unawareness, going back to sleep, as it were. With this realization, the Fool passes on to encounter the Hanged Man. And the Hanged Man represents the total freedom of total surrender. The Hanged Man card isn't even one of martyrdom. The look on the face is peace. The surrender has given the Fool peace, suspended, timeless. And that comes from that taking responsibility and making the decision to go forward and surrendering to the destiny represented by the Wheel of Fortune. After the Hanged Man, the Fool has to put down the old and start anew and encounters death. But not death in the physical sense, but death of the old ways. Putting down those things that are tired, those things that are not necessary. What we have learned, what the Fool has learned, is that some of the stuff just needs to go away. And these endings are about outgrowing. They're about, to a large degree, to my understanding, this is an initiatory process. Old is gone, and the rebirth that comes on the other side of the death card is incredibly transitional, incredibly transformative, and is usually, on the other side of the death card, much more positive. With that, the Fool encounters the Temperance. The Temperance card, understanding balance and stability. All of the forces, all of the aspects of one's life are now combined in balance. And the whole becomes healthier for this understanding. But unfortunately, that health, peace of mind, and grace has a potential darker side. Because if we become complacent, then we can fall into ignorance, hopelessness. We can become seduced by the sensual, the material, anything that can pull us away, we can fall into complacency. And just like the male and female on the devil card seem to represent the male and female from the lover's card, except these people have put chains around their own neck and bound themselves to this pillar. They've done this to themselves, and they can take these chains off. and free themselves whenever they're ready to move on from this complacency. In doing so, however, the fool must free himself, but then comes the final release, the sudden change, that everything that was comfortable and seductive that kept us in chains is now gone, and the building crumbles, and the tower card energy is probably, to me, one of the scariest cards, because this is monumental. It is sudden. It is powerful. I mean, the card itself shows the crown being blasted off the tower by the lightning bolt. And all of our pride, all of our awareness and everything we thought is tumbling. But with this comes the revelation. And on the other side of that is the star card. Serenity, hope, inspiration. Everything about this is new hope. We're free of the bondage of the devil. We have had the monumental sweeping clean of our lives. And now we're faced with the new, the hope, the calm, after the storm in this case. And from the star, we move to the moon. And we have to be conscious and aware of the possibility of illusion. But the moon also is about imagination, creativity. On the other hand, there's deep-seated fears and anxieties that can arise. And on the other side of this is the sun. Clarity, enlightenment, vibrant energy, self-assurance. The fool is now joyful. Having gone through all of this, now I'm here. I'm awake. I am celebratory. This is the realization of one's own greatness and what has been gone through, and here we stand. Here we still are. The fool is that naked baby riding the horse with the joy of Lukman, no hands on his or her face. That's the star card. That's where we've come. And in this, the judgment card, the fool is reborn. Self, ego is shed. The fool is absolved. Judgment has been given and it's done. The past is the past. We may regret mistakes, but they will not own us. We learn to forgive. We forgive not just ourselves, not just others, but ourselves as well. And in this, we find the world, the final card, the re-entering of the world. Everything is integrated. Everything is fulfilled. This is a final accomplishment. This is the great glory. Everything that's been experienced, everything that's been learned, and here we are. This is the reward. All of the accomplishments, everything that we've worked for, not instant gratification, but the results of hard work. These are the accomplishments that are represented in the world. This journey is now complete, and we have won, as it were. That is the fool's journey. That is the path of learning that is available following the fool's journey through the major arcana. This is the path that we took over the past several months, bringing us to this moment. So, my lady, did you have any final thoughts you wanted to throw in there?
No, that's about it.
Okay. With that, I am going to ask. I'm going to ask Robin if you would please tell people how they can get in touch with us.
You can reach us at littlestonebridge at gmail.com. We both, I'm sorry, littlestonebridge at gmail.com. You can reach us at gmail.com. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm tired. I'm losing my focus here. And
okay, littlestonebridge at gmail.com.
Yep, that would be the one. And then you can also reach us on Facebook at Little Stonebridge Pathworkings. You can reach us individually on our separate Facebook pages as well, mine being Robin A. McKean, and Terry's Facebook page being Rev Terry Power at Rev Terry Power HP. And
thank you, darling.
Yeah, and the other one is the radio
tonight.
Station. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah,
I'm tired.
I think that's enough for tonight. A little bit of programming notes. I do want to remind everybody that we will be at the South Jersey Pagan Pride starting at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, the 1st of October. This coming Saturday, it will be at Cooper River Park in Pensauken, New Jersey. So mark your calendars. Come out and see us. We're going to be doing a presentation on sustainability and having a discussion with the people that attend on self-sustainability and a little bit, I think, probably about interdependence. Did you want to say anything else about that, Darren?
If you're going to the park, there seems to be some confusion about the addresses for the park because there are two different addresses because the park is, 15 miles long. And I'm being told the best thing to do is to try to find the intersection of McClellan and North Park Drive in Pensauken, New Jersey. Or you can also use the address 5300 North Park Drive, Merchantville, that both of those will work. I don't know why one's Pensauken and one's Merchantville, but that's coming directly from the organizer of the event, so she must know what she's talking about.
Yeah, those
are addresses you can use to find it on your GPS.
All right. Very cool. Thank you, Darren. A couple of programming notes. This coming Thursday, two nights from now, we will be talking with Raven and Stephanie Grimassi and talking with them about their books and appearances coming up. We'll be seeing them at the Florida Pagan Gathering on November 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. So, if you want to get a chance, there's another place that you can meet Robin and I in person. We will be at the Florida Pagan Gathering Samhain event, Gathering the Harvest, I believe is the title for this year's event. And come out, we'll be doing some presentations about the elements, and we'll be talking about couples communications and some of the cool stuff that we do. And also we'll be setting aside time to have one-on-one sit-downs with people. And also if you want to catch up with us, there's another place you can do that. Next week, a week from tonight, we will be talking ritual etiquette as we continue our series of shows concerning the components of ritual. And we'll be talking about ritual etiquette not just in small group, but also in medium-sized events or rituals, and then large rituals. There's different rules and different ways of handling yourself. We'll be talking about all of that. And then a week from Thursday, on the 6th of October, we will be having our open topic. So you never know what you're going to get on the first Thursday of the month. So you want to tune in and see what happens. So with all of that said, I do want to thank all of our listeners. I want to thank Jackie for jumping in and joining us for a little bit. That was great fun having her with us. And always, always instructive. Always learn every time I talk to that lady. So, again, thanks to all of our listeners. Thank you, my lady, for being my partner, for putting up with me, even when I'm in a goofy mood.
You're fine. I love you.
And I love you. And, you know, thank you for being my partner and seeing the good in me. I love you very much, darling. And I love all of you guys. Thank you for being a part of what we do here. And with that, I think I'm going to stop talking and just wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.